Today we're finishing our study of the Heidelberg Catechism on the Lord's Prayer, and so we're going to read question answer 128 and 129. I'll read the question, and let's say the answer together. What does your conclusion to this prayer mean? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever means we have made all these requests of you because as of all-powerful King, you and I only want to, but all is good. And as you are holy and out of yourselves, you receive all the praise forever. What does that little word, amen, express? Amen means this is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than I really desire what to pray for. I need to put this away. I don't need to hold this the whole time I'm up here. In our passage of Scripture, has you responding again and again, you should have this memorized by now, so you just respond every time, His love endures forever. So I'll read part of the Scripture from Psalm 136, and you respond again and again with those very words, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To Him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by His understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures
forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
His love endures forever.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder. And brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love
but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love
to Him who led His people through the desert.
His love
who struck down great kings.
His love
and killed mighty kings.
His love
Sion, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan.
His love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
His love endures forever.
An inheritance to His servant Israel.
His love endures forever.
To the one who remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
Who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Love endures forever. So we have been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. This is the Lord's Prayer that we've been looking at. And we come to the end of the Lord's Prayer now. And it ends with those words, for thine is the power, the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, because of what we just read, His love endures forever, we can be absolutely certain that our prayers will be answered. Because His love endures forever, it's unchanging. His kingdom is a kingdom of love. His power is the display of His love. He deserves all glory because of his love. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, because your love is forever. So he deserves all of that. And so we're making a transition right now from the Lord's Prayer to Thanksgiving. Yes, in spite of the fact that, you know, Thanksgiving gets overlooked in the stores. You know, you go there and you went from Halloween to Christmas, right? But I want us to think about Thanksgiving a little bit, because Thanksgiving is important that we understand what we are truly thankful for. And so over the next weeks, I'm going to be looking at the great things that we should be thankful for. And obviously today I'm thinking of God's love that is forever. The things that I'm going to mention are both profound and sublime, and I want you to think about them. They're not the things that we ordinarily think about. You know, I have in churches always said to people, now I want you to write down something you're thankful for, and they would bring it as a thank offering, and sometimes people would say some of the things I'm going to talk about, but more frequently they would talk about just the ordinary things of life, like their family, their friends, the food that they eat, all of the fun things they do. And we should be thankful for all those things. But all of those things pale in comparison to the love of God in Jesus Christ. We want to be thankful for what we have, thankful for his love. Those things might be everyday and ordinary, but God's love is never ordinary. It's extraordinary love. It's love that surpasses any other love. Now, in the New Testament, does anybody know the word that we usually have for love? You can tell me. Agape, yes. Agape. Well, that's a New Testament word. And we're looking at an Old Testament passage, so we have a different word for love. It's chesed. Now, I don't know exactly how the Hebrews said it, but I know it appears 250 times in the Old Testament. Now, it's not precisely the same as agape love, but it's very similar, very similar. And to help you understand what we're talking about today, I want to really examine chesed love much more thoroughly, because it's a distinct kind of love. Now, if you would happen to be reading your Greek Old Testament called the Septuagint, everywhere you'd come across chesed, it would be translated as agape, because it's the closest thing in the Greek that they can get to chesed. But it's still not the fullness of chesed. So, since this appears 250 times in the Old Testament, we're going to go through them one at a time someday, but not today. I'm going to look at some of the major ones so that you understand more fully what God means when he says chesed. The first one I'm going to look at is from Exodus 34, verses 6 through 7. The context of this is important and makes us understand better what God is saying, because the context is this. God gave his law, right? And Moses is gone. And the people think, Moses isn't coming back. We better have something to worship because he's not here. So they make the golden calf, right? And Moses comes down from the mountain, he hears the dancing and singing, and he sees the golden calf, and he takes those two tablets of God's law, and he smashes them in anger. And he goes back to get two more. And this is what God says to him. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That is what chesed is. It's love that's for 1,000 generations. It's love that forgives rebellious sin. In the older translations, and that's why I have the word steadfast love there, that's the way we translate it, steadfast love. So I think that gets you an idea of what chesed is. It's the love of God to a sinful, rebellious people, not because they deserve it at all, but because of his nature. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's chesed. Now, does God punish sin? He sure does. And he did. Many people died because of that worship of that calf. In fact, the death had to be stopped or they'd all died. But it's because God is love. God forgives sin. Chesed. So that's the first thing I want you to know about it. Because that'll give you a greater understanding of this passage that we just said, where his love endures forever. The second one that I'm going to talk to you about happens when Israel goes into the promised land. Do you remember this woman called Rahab? You remember Rahab? What did she do? Who came into the land? Two what? Two spies. Okay, these two spies come into the land, and Rahab risks her life to hide these spies. And this is what the Bible says in Joshua 2, verses 12 through 14. Now then, this is what Rahab is saying, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. And the spies respond, our lives are your lives. The men assured her, if you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. Now that gives you another little aspect of what chesed is. It's not only enduring love, it's acts of kindness. This is the word that's translated as kindness. You showed kindness to us, we will show kindness to you, we'll show chesed to you when it comes and the land is conquered. So Rahab gives us a second meaning of chesed, or a second understanding so we can get it more fully. It means kindness. And then King David said these words in Psalm 21, verse 7, for the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. So I say that another thing that you have to understand by chesed is the security that it gives. Because the unfailing love, the chesed of the Lord, will mean that he will not be shaken as king. So you have this steadfast love, you have kindness, you will not be shaken. And then, the most frequent use that we can find, 42 times in fact, is in this little compact phrase that we said over and over, for his love endures forever. And that too gives us the concept of chesed, how enduring it is. Now the first time that phrase, for his love endures forever, is found in the Bible. It's in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. And there it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Who said that and why? David said that. David said that because he had now seen the love of the Lord. You remember the story of the Ark of the Covenant, which David tried to bring into Jerusalem. Well, first David tried to do it in a way that wasn't prescribed by God. and people died. Oh, and he said, I'm afraid to bring it in now, so he leaves it for a while. But then he obeys the Lord and brings the ark into Jerusalem, and then he says these words. Because this was God showing his chesed. He knows that God's love will never, ever change. Because he established it now in Jerusalem, where David ruled as king. Now, the last time we find that little phrase, again, is found in Jeremiah 33, verse 11. Quite different circumstances. But the same thought comes through. There, Jeremiah says, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. When the Lord promised to restore Israel. That's where those words were said. Jeremiah is in that chapter saying that even though God's going to inflict all these things on you because of your sins, even though you're going to be destroyed as a nation, even though you're going to go off into captivity, he says, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. That's what Jeremiah says. Not when they have returned, but in the full assurance that they will return because his love endures forever. And so that, I hope, gives you a better idea what chesed is. It is the Old Testament word for love, but you know, when I just say love, you don't get all the richness of what I just talked about. It's just simply not in our English vocabulary to get that far. So as you get ready for Thanksgiving, I want you to think of four reasons why you ought to give thanks to God. Now, all four of them are right here in this psalm. Right in the psalm, the very first verses say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. So that's why we want to give thanks on Thanksgiving, because he's good. His goodness shows that his love endures forever. God has never done anything wrong. Everything he does is right and good. He forgives our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems us from the pit. He lifts us to heaven itself. Every blessing that we have is from the Father of lights, who is perfectly good. And so we should come on Thanksgiving Day with thankfulness in our hearts, because the Lord is good and his love endures forever. The second one is the very next verse. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. There really is no other God. But there are gods that people have made. We call them idols. And they still exist in today's world, all over the world, in fact. Wherever you would travel in the rest of the world, you'd find idols. Even in the United States, you can find plenty of idols. You can find them in places to eat. Say, if you go out to a restaurant or something that might be Chinese, there might be a Buddha sitting in the corner. You know, he's been eating way too much Chinese food, I know that. But, you know, there's idols everywhere. But here's the problem, you see. Idols are creations of people, not the Creator. We should give thanks that our God is the God of gods. You know, all those gods are idols. They're going to pass away. They're going to perish with those who put their trust in them. But God will never, ever cease to exist. Give thanks because he is the God of gods. And give thanks because he is the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. Throughout history, you have people who set themselves up as Lord, right? They only can do that because God permits it. Because there is only one Lord, one God over all. They are just people for the moment who think that they have power and authority. And they exercise that in their little realm until God says no more. He's the Lord of lords. And so we ought to give him thanks. We ought to praise him. We ought to give him thanks. And I think about that even in our present context. You know, we have presidents. We have premiers. We have people in power and all over the world, and they act like they're Lord. But they are not. And so we give thanks that we know the Lord of lords. And there's one more time in this psalm where the psalmist says, give thanks. And that's the very last verse. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. When we started the Lord's Prayer, we said, Our Father, who art in heaven. And we talked about why we should give thanks that our Father is in heaven. Because all power, all authority, everything is from him. So when we pray to him, and he's in heaven, he can answer. And more than that, Jesus Christ is on the throne in heaven, and he is constantly interceding for you. Think about that for a moment. Who are you and who am I that the King of heaven should intercede for us? And if that doesn't make you thankful, I don't know what will. Because you see, our imperfect prayers that we offer to God are made perfect by him and his being. And he's in heaven. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to the Father. Give thanks to the Holy Spirit. Because they're in heaven. They have all power and authority. And when we pray to them, we can be absolutely certain that he hears and answers our prayers. Not maybe the way we want, but far better than that, what we need. Because he's our Father in heaven. He's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ in heaven. He knows your needs better than you know them yourself. And he will always answer. And that's why we say amen. Amen. So here's your assignment over the next week and the weeks before Thanksgiving. Dwell on the Lord's chesed, his everlasting love. So as Thanksgiving nears, you'll be thinking about how God has shown his love to you. Obviously, he's shown his love to all of us who believe in him by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins so that they're all paid for and so that we are set free and so that we can worship him. There's no greater love than this that God displayed when he laid down his life for us in Jesus Christ. Give thanks with all your heart that the love of God excels every other love. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts overflow with thankfulness because you are the God of chesed. You are the God of everlasting love. Your love endures forever. And it causes us to sing and it causes us to praise you. And if you have shown it most clearly through Jesus Christ, your Son, may his name be magnified forever and ever. Amen.